forever. Dog.
She isn't safe, even in her dreams. This week on the podcast, R.L. Stine's The Sleepwalker.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kate.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are reading R.L. Stine's Sleepwalker, iconic cover, kind of a favorite, and we are joined by a very special guest.
You may know her from Dimension 20's Misfits and Magic and a writer for Honest Trailers and the podcast Tights and Fights on Max Fun. Danielle Radford is here with us.
Oh, hey. Hi. Hello. Hi.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for reading a book. That's a lot. We know it's a lot.
Twitter's a book. Really? It counts as a book. I'm trying to think of the last time I actually sat down and read a book.
Yeah. I mean, it's if it takes me away from Twitter for an hour and a half, then I count it as a plus.
Yeah. And it did. Because that's what's nice about these. Yeah. They're so digestible. They're only 160 something pages. You can fly through it. In a morning, while you're still struggling to wake up. I'm doing it while I'm popping my ADHD meds and waiting for them to kick in and drinking my matcha tea.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, Myra's just like, I'm sleepwalking again. So I remember seeing on Twitter that you are a fan of these kinds of books from your childhood and Christopher Pike and all that.
Yes, Christopher Pike was a huge one for me. I devoured those books. Every time we would go, and I lived in the bookstore, I was that kid. It's how this great comic Jackie Cation has this joke about being the spooky reading girl. That was me. Yeah. I was the one who always had a book. I was the one that was always reading. I was reading on the playground. I was reading when my friends would be hanging out at the basketball court. I'd be reading a book with them. I was that girl. And those were huge. And I probably read them way too young because Christopher Pike gets into the sexy stuff.
Butts and boobs and stuff.
There were butts and boobs and stuff. People were making out. People were talking about the butts and the boobs. Christopher Pike got into it. So I was never, R.L. Stine was one I'd never gotten into. As huge as everybody else. I know everyone has Fear Street and Goosebumps and all that stuff. For me, I was really and maybe it was because it felt so grown up. I was so into Christopher Pike. So this was nice to read something that would have been more age appropriate to when I was reading it, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
we're Lindsay Christopher Pike girls as well.
We actually started the podcast because we bonded over Starlight Crystal. From there, we just started at first. We were we're just going to cover Christopher Pike books.
And then there are not that many
compared to, just the general oeuvre of YA pulp books.
Right.
So we were okay, we should probably branch out because we're going to run out of Christopher Pike books and we want to savor those.
Have you already gotten to the Party Trilogy?
Early on. Yeah.
That was supremely my shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I must have read those. I read those books, those and obviously the Last Vampire books and the Remember Me series. I wore the covers off of those.
Yeah, they were so good. And kind of what you were saying, which was they were sexy. They were actually very scary and pretty disturbing and existential.
He's got some thoughts about the universe and the way that it works.
Yes,
he does.
I haven't read his adult novels.
To explore that in every single book.
So you have read his adult novels, Danielle?
I read Sati. That's another one I read.
Is it good? I never read it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I really love that book. It was one of my favorite books for a really long time.
I gotta read it.
Not as spooky, but way more into his what is the meaning of life? Who is God? Shit. And then the one with the crazy twins and the hypnosis and the lizard people or whatever. I don't remember the name of it.
Scavenger Hunt. That one stuck with me. That book, because I remember still that there was.
And that's a teen one.
That's a teen one. And that one had full on sex.
I thought that was an adult one.
No, that's one of the teens.
Oh, yeah.
It's just super sexy. And
that's the butt one.
Yeah, that's the butt one with the butt in the pool. I remember they were there was a very tan bottom in the pool. And I was a bottom. I was like, oh my God.
What does that mean?
Yeah. But the R.L. Stein books, I feel like, are largely, like, Lindsay and I have talked about how they're largely pretty sexless. They're, you know, it's just like, oh, we had a party with soda and sandwiches and he kissed me and that was what happened. And
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, that's definitely what I got. And I think it was because I'm, like, so biased because of this. I was like, when are we getting to the boobs and the butts?
I know.
And then it wound up being very, like, but it's, like, because it's not even, like, I would say, in terms of the way that the story is told, it was actually, like, I got surprised. There were some twisties and some turnies, and we'll get into that. But it was also, like, it does feel a little less 90210 and a little more... But funnier, but like a little more Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. It's definitely dorkier, if that's what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, it's so much dorkier. Yeah. It's so dorky.
And like,
I loved it.
All the characters
are dorky.
I
really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Let me read the back of the book really quick. Just so we can.
Spooky Saved by the Bell is a really good way to
Okay. Somebody help. Don't let me sleepwalk again. 1 week after she starts her summer job on Fear Street with old Mrs. Kotler, Myra Barnes begins to sleepwalk, waking up in the dead of night, not knowing where she is. Myra becomes even more terrified when she discovers Mrs. Kotler may be a witch. Is the old woman casting spells on Myra? To add to Myra's horror, she is being followed by a menacing stranger. I forgot about him. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Who seems to recognize her, but she's never seen him in her life. Myra sleepwalking is leading her into more and more peril. She soon realizes she must take action. She must find out what is happening to her, or she may never leave Fear Street alive.
So, I'm making that face that confused dogs make.
Yeah.
So, Fear Street is, because everyone in this book seems to know that Fear Street is just not, how cussing could we get on this podcast? I should have asked.
Oh, very.
Okay. Fear Street is obviously you do not fucks with Fear Street. Like, no. It's very clear to everyone who lives in this town that, like, you stay off Fear Street, which is like, well, why haven't they renamed the street yet?
Don't worry. There's lore.
I know. That was what I was about to say, because it feels like then this is just, like, literally, like, this is the town where all the shit happens, right? Like,
yes.
This is the town that's, like, you know, symbolically built on top of a hellmouth.
Yes, exactly.
It's very hellmouthish. It's very, like, I would recommend the Fear Street movies if you haven't watched them. They add to the lore, I'd say, because the lore from the books is pretty much like, old Simon Fear was bad and there was a curse between the Fears and the Goods, but they fell in love. And then that means that more curses happen. And then the house burned down and now everybody knows that Fear Street is where you should not live. And Fear Street is like kind of like poor area of Shadyside. And then there's like in the books, there's a rich area of Shadyside. In the movies, Shadyside is like the poor side of town.
Right.
So it's a little different. But yeah, so it's kind of like, yeah, everyone's like, ooh, Fear Street. It's where all the like old creepy Victorian houses are, like that kind of.
Wait, it's literally the Fears started fucking the Goods.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Oh God, I love it. Oh, I love it. Oh, it's so good.
No, and there is this great, like, there's this whole thing. Okay, so like Nora Good. She, what was that whole thing with her? Like, she got married to one of the Fears, and then she's the sole survivor of the entire Fear Mansion burning down. So she runs away, and like lives on an island, and then tries to rename herself
Storm.
And then her son comes back, and then he's cursed, and like it's this whole thing. It's this never ending fear curse.
Yeah, always a fear is falling in love with a good, and then just like people die. A lot of people
like,
will die.
Really iconic deaths in those ones. Like a girl dies from like dough being stuffed in her mouth, and then she's locked in a heated up kitchen so that it starts rising and it like comes out of her nose.
Oh, that's dope! All right, yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, they're cool. It's cool.
So no iconic deaths in this one, but some very cool twists and turns.
Yeah.
I was impressed that, cause usually if something is teased to be supernatural and then it doesn't end up being fully supernatural, I get annoyed or disappointed just cause I love supernatural more than I love just straight up like killer. But I thought this was like a cool balance of like, no, she was like fully being hypnotized by her creepy boyfriend.
Okay.
And they like killed a man and ran away, which is like two classic
tropes.
Classic, yeah.
of like, it's fine. No one, who cares that we killed that guy? Why do you care?
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks.
Oh my God. How are you not over the weird car murder yet?
Yeah. Like where we, like where a man like soared off of the street into a lake and like drowned. Why are you not over that?
Yeah. Like I thought we agreed to move past this in our relationship and you're not. So I'm going to have to kill you. And you're the weird one.
Yeah. I guess, if my hypnotizing you and making you sleepwalk at night didn't work, oh, why are you making me murder you?
Yep. Okay, classic victim blaming.
When did you guys feel like Walker was suspicious?
Well, he was always like kind of squirrely, but I definitely think that like as soon as he went on that date with Suki, which was like clearly a fucking date, that's when I was like, nah, he's gaslighting. They both are.
Yeah.
Did you guys get a sense that Suki knew and like that's why she was covering?
Maybe. Thought of that though.
Because she was clearly covering for him when they were holding hands and like Myra saw it and she's like, well, you know, no, we just ran into each other and I just got fired from my bitch of a boss or whatever. And it's like, well, then why would you be covering for him? You know, unless it's that classic thing of it's like, you know, this girl I was dating, she's so crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't want her to be crazy. So, you know, you've just got to go with it. Like what girl? And I love the fact that they made the point to tell us that Suki was skanky.
Oh my God. I know.
Yeah. Suki throughout the Fear Street books. Yeah. Everybody, she is like town slut.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Just kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, now she's so she's the slut in every book.
Yeah.
Now she's my favorite.
It's always like Suki, the fastest girl in school.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds fucking dope.
Yeah, she's iconic. There's
she's
also
got the
like,
coolest hair and outfit. Like she's punk. She's a punky amazing. Slut.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. All the books kind of loosely take place like in the same universe, and sometimes you'll see characters like even main characters from other books like very off-pagedly. Like they'll be like, oh, Reva Darby's throwing a party, and like Reva's like the main character of Silent Night, who is like maybe my favorite character in anything.
She's town bitch.
She's so mean.
Oh,
she's
hell yeah.
So mean. Like she's the daughter of the guy who owns the department store, so she's like very rich and mean and like
God, I love her.
Yeah, they're great. There's some like really good side characters.
Highly recommend the Silent Night series trilogy.
Oh dope. I have no I'm taking
are there
notes.
Four yeah.
Oh yeah, read Silent those, Night 4.
There's another very iconic, pretty iconic death scene, but the like, there's something with lipstick that you'll enjoy.
Unforgettable,
yeah,
unforgettable.
Into it,
yeah.
But so when you see our boy magician Walker on a date with Fear or Shady Side slut Suki Thomas, you know something's up.
I just don't get why Walker is getting so much tail. Like
I don't either.
Yeah, so many notes I have. Okay, I wrote down so many notes of just literally transcribing the way that Walker is described, both in dialogue and like in Myra's like mind. So she's like, Walker was very serious about magic. He wanted to be a professional magician, and he was into mental telepathy and psychic powers. And then there's a part where she's she's defending Walker to
poor Myra,
to her
she's
best friend.
She's so loyal.
I thought she was hypnotized to date him to begin with.
Oh, see, that makes like way more sense because he sounds. I'm sorry, like the kid that's into close up magic.
Yeah.
And using being into close-up magic to cover up his affair with Suki.
Yeah.
He's like, we weren't holding hands. I was doing a coin trick. And she's like, of course.
This man has hypnotized all of Shadyside. He, like, for some reason, everyone's like, oh, Walker, I mean, like, why? Why does Suki want to be with him?
Yeah,
he's like a straight Neil Patrick Harris. It was like the way that I thought of him was like straight Neil Patrick Harris.
Which is like 75% of the charm of Neil Patrick Harris just stolen.
Okay, can I
like that's 75% of the reason you like Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay, two things. One, this is what so Myra's like defending him to her girlfriend who like sees the light about it. She's like, Walker's weird. And she's like, Walker has an ambition. He's serious about something, magic. And then when he's off on like vacation for like 2 weeks, he goes on vacation and he like comes back and he tries to handshake her hello. And I was like, oh, God, like that. I was like, that's strike two for me, for Walker, where he awkwardly tries to handshake her. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I love how pink his
shy
get.
He is. Yeah.
He's so shy.
Two perfect little pink circles on his white, white cheeks.
Oh my God. I just kept imagining like an anime when like dudes get like, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Except like not cute, except like super weird. And
very weird.
I'm sorry. Like, I know that it's weird that she has hot guy Link chasing after her and he got really creepy and stalkerish and like totally, right? But it's also, yeah. I'm sorry. If some dude, you go on vacation, he gives you like these fucking beads. You go on vacation and you come back and he's like, oh, hello, madame. How are you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like, where's his fucking fedora? Like, it's, yeah, even, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
It is. It's a huge red flag that he tries to shake her hand.
Yeah.
And also, like, going back to the theory that, like, Walker hypnotized her to date him in the first place, that would make so much sense because she never fucking says why it's over with Link. Every time she's with Link, even though, as you said, Link is for sure like actually creepy and actually like tries to force her to kiss him, she never says why they broke up.
That's why
she only says like, oh, it's so comfortable to be with Link again. I forgot how much fun we have together. I'm like, why did you forget?
Yeah.
What right. What did he do then to end the relationship? Why did you start dating Walker? She just and keeps she saying started dating superficial, him. But like I didn't see it.
Yeah, she started dating Walker like immediately, and she
yes,
and she's never like you because people keep asking her like, why did you break up with Link? And she's like, I don't know, man. Like things just happen and things just don't work out.
Yeah.
See, it seemed so fake. It seemed so like and just with that in combination with Walker being like. When he's like, I've never seen your shoulders before. And she's like,
ah, they're so like fucking weird.
I have two of them.
I know, I counted.
But then when he's like, I'm sorry about last week. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, good. I was like,
he's like, then our jumping, date, I thought you might still be upset about it. And she's like, upset about what? It was just such a lovely time. And he's like, I guess because I got you home late. And she's like, I don't know.
And then jumping from
let's
that,
eat pizza.
Jumping from that to being like, I like not really explaining why she isn't dating Link anymore. Like to me, those seem like the same. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's like, oh, both are hypnotism.
Yeah.
That makes so much more sense.
So the because, signs like, the were whole, there.
Yeah. She's talking about how much she likes this guy. And every time she describes, and even then when she's with him, she just keeps being like, you're fucking weird.
Yeah. She's like, and I love it. It's like, but do you?
Like literally,
I don't
think
you
do.
Yeah.
No. When she comes over at one point, he's like doing some kind of magic in the corner, and she's like, and he's like refusing to turn around and face her, and he's like, I have a trick to show you, and she's like, oh, Walker, not right now. I have to talk to you about how I think my boss is a witch, and he's like, a witch, and I'm like, this whole situation, like, and she in her mind, she's like, oh, he's just so serious about magic, but I'm like. This guy is like, it's more. It's more than just he's into magic.
Yeah, no, I definitely thought like maybe he was some kind of, and it was a really good misdirect with the beads because I definitely thought that he'd like get like the beads were like some kind of like anti bad magic charm, and so like when she took them off, like that's why she sleptwalked because there was that whole thing with the cat. So like as soon as they were destroyed, and when he was still doing the misdirect about it being the old lady, I was definitely like. Oh, okay. So the beads must have been like a protection from bad magic. And that's why the cat went after them. And then, which they never explain the cat, by the way.
I love that they don't explain the cat, like actually.
I also literally cheered when the cat saves the day. I loved Hazel. I loved Hazel. I wish that Hazel was my cat. I'm also like very obsessed with cats. So that's my own thing. But like, I literally
I wish
in
Hazel
my notes
was like a shady side mainstay like Suki Thomas.
Yeah,
or Reba
like Suki.
Dalby.
Yes. Yeah. My last note is all caps. Hazel saves the day. I loved Hazel.
I loved Hazel. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. I thought that Hazel was like, you know, an evil familiar and was like,
yeah.
I have to get rid of the thing that's protecting you. Because that was clearly, I think, a red herring and like what we were supposed to think it was. Yes, so like, I just thought that kid was like, oh, I'm so weird because I'm like a secret fucking witch. I thought that was why he was weird.
Yeah, that's a really cool theory.
You know what I also love, kind of touching on how you guys were saying, because I also love that they don't really explain the cat, that it's like just a coincidence that Mrs. Kotler and Stephanie, the sister of Link, are into magic. Like, it's just a coincidence that they're witches. I think
for sure they're witches. They're for sure witches.
Right, yeah. No, but they're witches, but it's just they weren't involved in this situation. Yeah. Like, they were doing other witches. Like,
leave us the fuck out of it. Like, we're just over here lighting our fucking candles and caressing people's, like, possessions. Yeah. Like, you leave us out of whatever is happening right now. I just want to be here with my smelly, moldy candles.
Yeah. Oh, my God, those candles.
I'm sorry. I was not using your scarf for nefarious purposes for you. I was using it to hold back the sweat while I cast chicken bone magic. Yeah. Oh, you're so crazy.
I also I love was
like,
to...
Well, we do need to acknowledge that, like, you're sitting in front of bones.
I do like, too, that they were just, like, not even, like, I like to imagine, this is headcanon, that they were, like... They, like, were aware of the sleepwalking magic, like, of the hypnotism, and they were like, okay, I'm not going to get involved in that because that's, like, kid shit. Like, I don't care about this. Like, because when she says to Mrs. Kotler, she's like, I'm sleepwalking, and Mrs. Kotler's like, yeah, damn, that sucks. Like, she's just like, sleepwalking, that's crazy. Okay, I got
to
go.
And then she turns out to have all of those books on sleepwalking. She's just very clearly like, you know what? This is not my circus. It is not my monkeys. This is not my ministry. Yeah. This is just, like, not, like, you do you, girl. You don't try to wake up in the lake again.
With another warlock's spells. Yeah. She's like, do you know anything about sleepwalking? I know it's very mysterious. Period.
Also, just like, Myra has such a bad picker. Because I'm sorry, after all of the stalking and the various versions of you'll be sorry that she hears from both Link and Link's sister Stephanie, like, why would you go back to Link?
I know.
Classic.
Why would,
like,
you go back to this family?
Overplay of the red herring to the point where it's like, well, yes, sure, he didn't kill anyone, but he's still problematic and that needs to be addressed.
Also, like, you know that that family has some Crimson Peak shit going on. Like, you know, because the brother and the sister, they're so close.
Yeah.
And she's very, like, why did you break up with my brother? It's like, okay, why do you care so much? Like,
he's been a mess. It's like, oh, you know.
He's been impossible to console, even though I massage him for an hour every night. Like, it's so,
our daily baths have not been the same. You have ruined bathtub.
Yeah. He doesn't even want to play with the toys in there anymore while we bathe.
Yeah. I also, okay, this is just a classic thing that Arlstein loves to do, which is to have people say each other's names constantly as if it's, like, the beginning of an improv scene. Like, okay, so when we first meet Link, literally Myra says, these are the sentences she says in order. Link, why'd you grab me like that? Well, what are you doing here, Link? I don't think so, Link. Let go, Link. Like, no one talks like that. No one says names like that. One of those Links is fine.
Yeah. Yep. It's definitely, it's like that new thing now that people make fun of when they'd be like, you go head king or you go head queen. And you just, like, say it over and over.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not natural. Like, you might say it, like, once to a friend, like, yo, what's up, king? But you're not saying it, like, all day, like, all over the internet the way that people do.
Yeah.
What are you doing here, Link? Why are you touching me here, Link? Like, it's just, it's very unnatural. But I know that it's one of those things because it's to get Baby Banes to, like, recognize it. But, like, you don't have to do that in a book. We can go back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's very beginner writing style.
It's like, very, like, how long have we been sisters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like that Walker's dad thinks that he should be a lawyer who does magic tricks on the side. That made me laugh really hard. And he was, like, mad about that.
You know, all those famous close-up magic lawyers that you hear about.
Yeah. He, at the company parties, he, like, gets so much lawyer tail because everybody's so into the fact that he does magic. Yeah. They're like, oh, my God.
That's Jonathan, so fun.
Have you seen Jonathan's close-up magic?
Have you been injured in a car accident? Call 1-800-MINDFREAK and we will make sure.
I can make your injuries disappear.
Did you guys, this is like jumping way off to the side.
It's fine, it's fine.
I ended the book and I was like, well, we should have known that Walker did it. The book is called Sleepwalker.
Oh, damn.
Good one,
it.
Lindsay. Good one. That's good. That's good.
Oh, we should, I should have seen that. That's not on purpose.
That's not on purpose. That's not. Wow.
I was fucking cracking up at the beginning of the book when, so Myra gets this job. She's like old timey companion to this elderly woman who doesn't actually seem elderly at all, Mrs. Cotter, and her cat Hazel. And her job is just to like fix her little lunches and help her get around the house and read to her every day. And for this task, she is paid $5 an hour. And and she goes there and Mrs. Cotter like takes her little nap and fucking Myra is like, this just gives me more time to think about Walker. And I was like, God. Are you just like sitting in your house?
Yeah.
Literally just like picturing your boyfriend and like, that's it. Or she's like, I'm going to send Walker a psychic message via telepathy.
Whoa, okay, so that into part, that.
I wonder if he can get it. I wonder, he'd be like so proud of me that I'm so trying to send a psychic message. And he gets back from his little vacation with his family and he's like, yeah, I like hypnotized the donkey into not being afraid and going into the Grand Canyon. I'm just like, what is this relationship?
I was like, dude, this dude is a loser. I was like, I can't.
Why and are you sadly, trying to
so
like,
is Myra.
Have you, you know, but I feel like there was an age, not that big age, because they're like 16. So maybe not at 16, but there's definitely an age where it's like, well, no, I don't know. I'm looking back at my past now and I'm like, it wouldn't have been close up magic, but I've definitely like went out of my way to try to impress some Lehu's or hers.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah. Same.
I mean, we're talking through 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah.
DJs. Mm-hmm. Rollerbladers,
improvisers,
yeah. I have been, there have been times where I was like, man, looking back on that, why did I care what that guy thought about me? And but I was like so upset. I was like, I'm so cool. Of course. We don't have to date like exclusively. That's cool. Yeah.
We don't have to label this.
Yeah. I'm and it was
a
like
fucking caricature right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the cool girl. Uh-huh. Oh, you want me to help you carry all these boxes of records up the stairs? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's our girl, Myra.
That's Myra. Yeah, that's so Myra. She doesn't know who she is yet. That's okay.
She'll find it. She'll find it. Maybe.
She will find probably it. Not. Maybe at the bottom
honestly,
of the lake.
Probably not, but.
No, because we don't really know who she is except that she is defined through her relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. Like reading this book, I have no idea who this girl is except that she sleepwalks, she's a pushover, and her best friend is like way cooler than she is.
Loved her best friend. That Dayglo top
Donna?
She's wearing?
Yeah.
Donna. I loved Donna.
Yeah.
What was that weird thing that kept happening with Donna and Myra where like in multiple scenes, like at least two, maybe more, when Myra would meet up with Donna, she'd be like, why is it like so awkward between us? Like we're having trouble finding things to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think because mostly it was like a lot of that was in the hospital after Donna got fucking ran off the road, which is crazy. So a lot of it, I'm sure, is like, Myra is just too young to realize your friend is on drugs and has a concussion.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you're like telling her about how you think your boss is a witch. And she's like, I literally am in traction. Like, I have my own problems. Like, I don't need to deal. Like, that's the other thing. That's something I know about freaking Myra is that she's selfish. She's not paying attention to her friend. Her friend just got into a horrible accident. Like, maybe
and
you should just
thought
be there
they
for
were
your
targeting
friend.
Myra. And Myra correctly guesses this. And instead of being like, oh my God, my poor friend, her reaction is like, but it was supposed to be me.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Narcissist.
Instead of being like, oh no, like I wish my friend wasn't in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, okay. Now we touched on this person.
Yes.
Yes.
Cal.
And it's Cal, the man
with the big
with the beefy
man.
Neck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big linebacker.
Yeah, big neck man instead of bent neck lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like targeting her. He sees her and he's like, hey. And I feel like we're supposed to maybe wonder if he's even real, right? We're supposed to.
Yes.
At the end, I was realizing that we were supposed to think that.
Well,
but
I realized
didn't for quite a while.
The only reason I thought, oh, we're kind of maybe supposed to doubt his existence is when she agrees to meet the psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, were you guys like, Why does Arlstein always do this? Were you guys weirded out by the young psychiatrist?
I just don't. It was weird to me because, for one thing, he was like not listening to her at all. Like, he was like not.
Yes, the second she was done, he was like, "Well, time's up."
And she's like, "I haven't even gotten into the thing yet." He's like, "Nope, take these pills."
Yeah.
Like clearly one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm doing a favor for your mom. And like, yeah. I have no other reason to like hang out with you at all. I thought it was weird how weirded out she was. Cause I've met young psychiatrists before. Like, it's not super weird, especially like in a small town, you know, cause people get placed where they get placed. And like, if you're a beginner, you know, like that might be just like where you are. And so for her to be like, wow, he's so young and handsome. And it's like, why are we spending paragraphs on how young and hot the psychiatrist is?
Yes. I feel like Arlstein often does that.
That's a 1990 thing.
Yeah. He'll put like some, either a doctor or a psychiatrist or someone that's not relevant to the story or like plot. And it's just the only thing that we notice, or like a teacher or something, where this main character's like, oh, he's so young and handsome. I'm like, RL, you try to like put just about to say that. Yes.
It is total Stephen King style, M. Night Shyamalan style self insert.
He's like, he's a Marty Stew.
Yeah. Here's where I come in, the guy that's too hot and young to be dealing with these children.
And then we actually like adapt this, and it is Arlstein now.
Beautiful.
But they still say like, but you're so young.
You're so hot and young. And then just him looking straight down the barrel at the camera.
Yeah. Wink. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm sliding off of my chair. This guy is so hot.
I know. Mop the floors. Code blue. Gotta come mop.
But they do say like, she's like, there was a man outside chasing me and he was being held back by nurses. Yeah. And then they look out and nobody is there. And it's like, oh, we're supposed to wonder if Cal is real. And I'm like, but no, Robert, because like, remember that whole scene where Donna is like, a guy with a huge neck came by looking for you? We already know that somebody else saw Cal. You're not like pulling the wool over our eyes right now.
Yeah.
Also, is it me or does Cal sound kind of hot? I don't know.
I thought Cal was hot.
I thought he was really hot. A football player. Come on.
He's like beefy dude, like weird redhead. I don't know. I could be into it.
Yeah. And yet, not a word about it from RL. Nothing. Except we just talk about how hot this psychiatrist is. We don't talk about how hot this beefcake guy is. I thought he was hot.
What do you have against big necks, RL?
I know.
He doesn't have an imagination about what girls are into.
No, because Danielle, seriously, there's like when he describes guys that are hot. Okay.
I mean, in this book alone.
Yeah.
Did they actually sound hot to either of you?
No. Okay. Walker sounded disgusting. I'm sorry. He sounded awful.
Well, and I remember him very lovingly discussing the creepy boyfriend Link and being like, oh, he got a tan.
Oh, tan, so tan.
Dark curly hair.
Yeah.
And he's hot. But like, that's it. That's as far as like the introductions go.
Picture it.
I can't remember him talking about, well, see, I thought immediately of Link from Encino Man. So he was Brendan Fraser in my brain.
Oh, okay.
Which makes everything hotter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's then, a good comparison. Yeah,
so hot.
Or and like then, stand in.
For Walker, I kept thinking of, God, this is going to be, I'm outing myself. I can't think of his name, but the creepy kid from Stranger Things who also gets tail for no good reason.
Oh, the brother? The evil brother?
Not the evil brother. The one that starts dating, what's her name? And he's like, I think they like dated in real life.
Mike.
Oh, yes. Shoot.
Finn Wolf.
That's how long it's been since the show has been on. Have fun catching up before it starts again, kids.
Full adults in this next one.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think it might be Mike. Here. I think he might be
the kid who dates 11?
Not 11.
The one who dates the one who dates Nancy Wheeler?
Yes.
The like creepy brother of the
Charlie Heaton playing Jonathan.
That's like clear. That was like that because they kept describing how squirrely he was.
Yeah,
was like that was what I thought of because I was like, we're also supposed to think that that dude is mysterious and hot with his weird camera, but he's just like a weird dude.
Yeah,
he's genuinely
he's just a guy
weird.
With a camera.
Yeah, Guy with a camera. I could talk about guys with a camera all day.
Oh, same. Same.
What's my type? Guy with a camera. Whirly dude with a camera.
Oh, did you want to take pictures of me because you love the female form?
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be like tasteful, right? Oh, I can't bring someone to the shoot?
Be
oh, okay.
Blurry and yeah. Amateurish, right?
Yeah.
You're in high school.
Because you're still trying.
You're still learning your craft.
You're going to learn by photographing me. Right?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, just like adjust the lighting. That's great. Oh, you only do burlesque dancers and girls who do roller derby? Okay.
Standard.
What was I going to...
We were talking about Cal.
Speaking of amateurish, they do nothing to address the fact that she's fucking sleepwalking. They don't try to like tie her to the bed.
That was my first.
Oh yeah, they're not doing enough at all.
Like, why wouldn't? If it was my mom, she would be like, "Look, I'm like they wouldn't necessarily tie me to the bed, but like." The fact that it takes her mom so long to be like, let's put your sister in there. And first of all, my mom wouldn't say, let's put your sister in there. My mom would be like, you're sleeping in the bed with me.
Yeah,
100%.
Like, that's what we're doing. You're sleeping in the bed with me. We're locking the door. And then I'm going to feel when you get up. And like, I'm going to know when you're doing things.
You will put your 8-year-old sister in there.
Yeah. Like, nothing
walks into a lake.
It's not even like, it'd be one thing if she was just like downstairs and it was like an ambient thing and she was just like downstairs masturbating and making toast or whatever it is you do when you're doing like the ambient sleepwalking. But it's like she winds up outside.
Yeah.
Like every time. There's no way. Every time.
And that's so scary. Like,
it's not like you got hit by a truck. Well, fuck you, mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
What is that? She's like, I'm just trying to like make sure that you're not overly concerned. I was like, I think she is at the appropriate level of concern, mom.
Her mom was like way too quippy, by the way. About
no,
this
I didn't have I didn't have any time for that mom.
That's
I
classic,
did not like
her. R.L. Stein, he supposedly worked as a comedy writer for years and years.
No,
and was
joke
in
book
this
writer.
Age,
joke book writer.
No, like comedy magazine editor. Ugh. And joke book writer.
Mm, okay.
Because it says it at the back of the book. And in this era, he is still in his head writer of Eureka's Castle days. So he thinks that he really knows his way around a quip. And respectfully, I disagree.
Yeah, that sister is so irritating and unnecessary.
So irritating.
When she like, when she just, and also her.
But like, I guess realistically irritating.
Yeah, I guess realistically, yeah.
For a kid, for sure.
But if you're somebody who prides yourself on quips and your only quip is that the little sister says, you're stupid, that's not a quip. That's not a quip.
Well, the mom's quips aren't quips.
No,
either.
They're not either. Mm-mm. They're not good.
And then I just felt like very attacked when the mom was 39.
Oh, well, the mom 39. Is 39?
Mom's
39. I think I blocked that out. Like, and I just read it this morning. And I'm pretty sure that
like,
I've already
I think my boyfriend hypnotized me to forget that the mom is 39.
With a 16-year-old daughter. Wow. Things move faster in that town than they do.
Wait. Wow. I didn't know she was
39.
39.
And I was like,
I know. And then there was one part where they were like, she looked even older. Than she really was. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, I guess to like balance out the fact that like the old lady looked so young and hot, which again, they just kept saying over and over, which I think is to like make us know that she's a witch, but it's like, oh, she's so hot. Oh my God, she's so young and hot. Oh my God, her skin is so supple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, this is the other thing that R.L. Stein tends to do. And maybe this is because, you know what? This is one of his earlier books. And he usually gets more descriptive with how. With what, quote, beautiful people look like later. So I think that's just not his strength. He doesn't know what good people, what good people look like.
He was a comedy writer. Look, I'm saying, a lot of us are attractive, but not all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and this
you're
is
writing
before,
what you know.
Before we had the serums. This is before, we have to remember, like, this is before women knew to moisturize, and men now. This is before we all knew that we had to wear sunscreen and we had to moisturize.
Yeah. And we were all smoking and using, like, Pond's cold cream.
And, like, not drinking water.
And not drinking water,
Like, this was before chia seeds. Like, we didn't know
like,
that we
peptides
could, like,
even in our moisturizers.
Nah.
It's back when, like, say. When if you wanted to be healthy, you, like, ate a cold pasta salad with mayonnaise.
Yes. And you were, like, bagels and cream cheese.
Cottage cheese, yeah.
Well, because truly, at the beginning of the book, when she's like, eggs, mom, tons of cholesterol. Mm. I was like, eggs are healthy, dumbass. But
it keeps getting said. She's like, because my mom's a nurse, we have to eat this health food. So I piled a bunch of salt on my eggs just to make them palatable. And I was like, bacon and eggs is not a health food unless you're, like, paleo.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well,
why
also,
are you so
actually,
upset by this breakfast?
No. But so this part, actually, I was flipped on this because she was, like, criticizing the eggs for having too much cholesterol, which, like, to me, I think nowadays we understand that eggs are healthy
and which,
for
which
people
the
to
mom
eat.
Seems to yeah. know, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. like, that makes so sense. But weird. She just keeps complaining about how her mom makes them eat health food.
I know. And they're all
and
so
I was like,
mean
you're
to the
literally
mom.
Literally eating eggs right now, which are, like, delicious.
Yeah.
Why yeah. Like, it's not, you could, like, do worse.
Yeah. yeah. Way worse.
She's not like, here's your breakfast of, like, cottage cheese and alfalfa sprouts. What are you complaining about?
Yeah.
Here, daughter, it's a single orange. Yeah.
Grapefruit diet.
As a nurse. yeah, but so they don't really do anything about her sleepwalking until she literally sleepwalks into the bottom of a lake and is, like, pulled out by a fisherman. So, like, she had to be, like, walking.
She walked into the lake.
Underwater, right?
Yeah. 'Cause
she was, like, drowning.
Yeah.
And, like, even then, technically they do something about it, but it's mostly just that, like, oh, the psychiatrist is back from vacation.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even, it just happened to be really good timing. I think, there's still nothing would have happened unless if the psychiatrist was not, like, got back from vacation, I still think nothing would have happened.
Oh,
and
for
I was,
sure.
like, relieved when he at least was like, here's a prescription for some pills that'll, like, keep you in a deeper sleep so that you're not wandering around. And I was like, well, finally some solution.
Yeah. Like, kind of wish he would have let her, you know, keep talking about maybe some of the trauma that was causing it. But
Julie,
he was like,
it seemed like
she
was in there for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, she was not like this was clearly just a favor for her mom. Like, she was not in there. She did not get a full hour,
which makes no sense because, like, who do you care who your patient is? Sit down with the girl.
Also, this small town, this hospital is real busy.
Lots of people in the hospital.
Shady side.
Lots it is shady side.
People
there
getting
is a need.
Injured, people dying.
Supply and demand. That's a fair point.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually.
Very full mental ward in this hospital.
Very full.
Yes. Actually, very the full. Hospital it's like a factory town, but it's a hospital town.
Yeah. Yeah. If they ever close
most
that hospital.
Most of the
hospital.
People in town work at the hospital.
Yeah.
Which actually explains another book that we read where we were like, why does it seem like Shadyside General Hospital is such a, like, hopping place.
Yeah.
We found the answer. It's because of all the death.
Yeah. And yet people still are like, let's hang out at Fear Lake. Let's, like, go to Fear Woods.
Well, but that's what I thought was kind of interesting is she's like, would you meet me at the lake? And he's like, why would you want to meet here? This is, like, and Link shows up and he's like, what are you doing here? We do not hang out by Fear Street Lake. Like, get out of here.
Also, I know that she's young, but she has, but, like, if you're afraid that if all these memories come back and you're afraid that this guy has been hypnotizing you to forget something, why are you like, meet me at the scariest, most secluded and dark place alone?
Like, the literal scene of the crime in which you've hypnotized me about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With no backup.
Your murder. Plan. The murder that you did.
That I now know you are capable of doing without feeling remorse.
And which I already suspected you were capable of doing without remorse because that is why we are here.
Yeah. Also, there's, like, no,
like,
explanation.
The play's the thing, but, like, no one else is around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious about why he did any of what he did to begin with. Like, why he stole the car. Like,
because it turns out Walker's, like, a fucking weirdo criminal.
Yeah. It's true.
He's a total loser.
Yeah.
He's like, a ratchety ass hand, like, close-up magic magician who, like, thinks he can hypnotize donkeys. Dude's out of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if this was our beloved Christopher Pike, he would have been on meth. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah,
drugs or some,
for sure,
like, alien drugs or something.
People.
Yeah.
Yes. This would have been way wilder shit.
Some like beautiful vampire gave him this drug and he took it and that's why it happened. Yeah.
And like people, because it sounds like when it happened, people were bullying him.
Yes, they were.
But it turns out they were right.
Yeah. Yes,
they like, were right. They weren't bullying so much as calling out the obvious.
Yeah. Yes. Like, don't do that. But also, like, we've all been bullied in school. We've all been bullied online. Like, you don't get to steal a car and then, like, run someone off the road to their death.
No. And then hypnotize like, the run. Only witness.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way. Sorry.
Not a proportional response, sir.
And honestly, I'm 90% sure the only reason he didn't push her into that lake is because he knows he was the last one seen with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I think he was like kind of starting to think straight. So then when she, so then how does this work out? So the cat. How does it end again?
So
Link shows up.
She is like, meet me at the lake. I think I want you to like hypnotize me into like walking to the lake anymore. And he's like, great, no problem. He's like, you're getting very sleepy. You're calm. You're not worried about sleepwalking. Also, you definitely still do not remember that murder that we did together in the car 3 weeks ago. You will continue to forget that.
And she's instead of being like, I will continue to forget that, she's like, I knew we committed murder.
This was like
she should keep pretending that she doesn't. She's like, okay, well, I've got him now. So now I'll pretend that like the hypnotism worked again.
Yes.
And I'll go home and then I'll call the cops when I'm at home. You don't have to like fucking confront him. Why do people always think that you have to confront the killer?
That's every time. I feel like so many times Lindsay and I have covered a book or seen a movie, because sometimes we do movies on this podcast, where, okay, when the killer boyfriend reveals to you his plan, you need to be like, oh my God, I love that. Like when they're
I love that for us.
Yeah,
oh my God, I can't believe that you're going through this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm so sorry, baby. Yeah. Like, I'm going to give you some alone time.
Yes.
And then, but call me and I love you and we're going to figure this out together because our love can overcome murder. And then you go and then you call the goddamn cops.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, it's really gross and creepy, but you're going to have to like seduce this guy.
Just like pretend.
To stay alive.
Just stay alive. Here's what I'm saying. You don't have to go all the way. You don't have to. Yeah, I don't know if you have to fall and seduce
sweet talking. But just, I'm saying, just, like, be your charming self, not like sexual seduction. Yes. But like, you've got to like put on the charms, act like you're still into him, talk about how much you love him and how much like you're definitely going to go along with his plan.
Like the way that you did to get him to the thing, to get him to confess.
Yes.
It'd be one thing if they hadn't done that. You've already done it. You know how to do it.
And you know that you're good at it.
Yeah.
You know that he's going to buy it. It's fine.
You just literally have to be like, oh my God. So this is like all the blood of the goats in town. I love that. And then you're like, so this must be like, you're just like really struggling. Like, I get that. I'm going to go just like sleep at my house and I'm gonna just be thinking about it so much and I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And then you call the fucking cops.
I'm gonna go pack my things and we're gonna run away forever. But I need to go and pack my things. And then we're gonna run away forever.
Yeah, like, I need some privacy. Pack my things first. I'm packing like tampons and pads and you don't wanna see that.
And then but in this case, run. It would be like the fucking easiest thing ever. You didn't even have to do that. You just continue to pretend that you're being hypnotized. And then he goes, and now snap out of it. And she goes, oh gosh, I feel so much better. I think I'll never sleepwalk again. Thank you, Walker. I'm so very in love with you. I definitely don't suspect that you're cheating on me. And then you go home and that's it.
You know what she needed to fucking do? This is classic. She needed to have a little tape recorder in her pocket.
Oh, my God. How do people forget the recording device?
Yeah.
Because this isn't California. I don't think it's a two-party consent state.
I don't think it's a two-party consent state either. You're absolutely right. Because where are they? The only one-party consent state, if I'm not mistaken, I think is New York. And that's why they can do crank anchors there.
Maybe they're in They're in upstate New York, we'll just say.
I think that there are like maybe, there are a fair number of states. California is definitely not one of them.
Though. No, you definitely need two-party consent for California.
Mm-hmm. But you can in some states, if you consent to the recording, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
God, did they have three-way calling back then? So you could have just had someone on the other line.
Oh, and then you can just have corroboration.
Could you just do like a quick phone hypnotism with me while I like put the cops on the third line?
You're so good at this. I know you can do this because you're like so good at it.
Babe, yeah. I've been practicing my telepathy while you were gone, and I really think we can do it over the phone. Mm-hmm. And then that's when what was the friend's name again? Joanne?
Donna.
Joanne. and then that's where Donna can come in more, because I really liked Donna. I wanted more Donna a lot.
And like it's such a super bummer than like, and also like, I love how apologetic that Cal is. But you still, like, put a teenage girl in the hospital. You still, like, I get that you're in grief and I get that all of this stuff happened, but you still put a teenage girl in the hospital. And also, like, that thing if he's, like, he's following my mother's car, they weren't in her mom's car. So he's been stalking her for, like, a while.
Yeah, he knew what it looked like. And he was still fully planning on killing her. So the only thing he's apologizing for is being wrong about who he was going to kill.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I planned on getting my revenge on you. It turns out you're not the one who killed him because I overheard the whole hypnotism thing and you arguing and you saying that you tried to stay. And I just like really appreciate that. And I did try to save you and kill your boyfriend instead. Like you were still going to get your revenge on someone via murder.
I mean, this was, and he's
like,
he's
snapped. And she's like, I totally understand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he's using it as an excuse. It's only a reason. It's not an excuse.
Yeah.
But he is classic. Like, you know, I mean, I was trying to kill. Well, I was trying to kill you because I thought you killed my brother.
Like he says he only wanted to scare her. But like, no.
Reckless disregard. Reckless disregard. I'm sorry.
The cops are present for this fucking confession.
And I love how they're like, stop yakking. And it's like, no, don't you want them to keep talking? Like, yeah. I would think that you would want all of these people
to
keep
talking.
You can
use this later.
These are not good investigators. They're very, like, obviously they should use this as a way to gather intel. Oh, right?
Shady
like,
side. It's all, they're overwhelmed.
Well, and watch Fear Street the movie. That's all I have to say.
Ooh. Good call.
Yeah, so if
it's
this
spooky
is Fear
season.
Street
spooky
movie
season's
lore.
Coming up, so it's time.
It's time.
If you didn't watch it over the summer, now's the time.
Trilogy. They're good. They're great. They're good. Amazing.
Really liked it.
Shocked. Shocked at how great they
Shock
were.
Shock and awe.
Oh,
Hazel the cat saves the day.
Yeah.
So she thinks that so she's stupidly acknowledged that this was a trap to get him to admit that he was hypnotizing her. Mm-hmm. And then he goes in for the kill and the fucking cat jumps out of nowhere and attacks his face and is like clawing at his face and she runs and I was like, how dare you leave a cat alone with a man in a
I was so mad at
like,
her
luckily
for leaving
Hazel
that
take
cat,
care of herself yeah. but Thank like you can, didn't know that
Hazel's a bad bitch but like that cat could have went into the lake
yes he
I
could
was
have
truly
fucking thumped
afraid
that cat against
Hazel.
A tree any number of things could have happened to that cat but she books it she calls the cops and then Walker comes in the house she grabs a meat cleaver to like ready to use against him. And she's like, I have to admit to myself that I can't bring myself to use this on him. And then he tries to get it from her. And then Cal shows up and he's like, I heard everything. And then it just starts pummeling Walker.
Can we talk about this meat cleaver for a second?
Yeah, yes. I got to talk.
And the
pig knuckles.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that white people ate ham hocks. this is why I think that this must be down south because there are peach trees and there are white people eating
peach
like
trees,
ham
yeah.
hocks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so it's gotta be like south.
Maybe it's like kind of middle
I'm
south.
I'm trying to think of mid south is a thing.
Or,
yeah, that's totally
like
a thing. I only know it because Kentucky. There used to be a wrestling promotion called Mid South Wrestling. that's the only reason why I know that that's a thing. But yeah, no, like around that area, I don't know where peach. I'm sure they grow other places than Georgia.
I know. I was like, well, peach equals Georgia in my mind, but
yeah,
there's got to be other places. But yeah, that's not a very. It's definitely not a West Coast. Or Midwestern even food.
Listen, she can find them at.
Wait, isn't she going to visit her sister in fucking Vermont who eats these?
Oh, wait, yeah, her sister loves them, but she could be a transplant. She could.
She
didn't grow up in Vermont.
She went and she opened a B&B.
She went and opened a B&B.
Yeah, because she has her own book.
She
has her own
book. It's a different series. It's a cozy murder mystery.
Yeah, where she has like a psychic cat and that helps her solve murder mysteries.
Oh, I would so read the Mrs. Kotler cozy mystery series.
Oh, but let's talk about this meat cleaver really quick, because this, I think, actually maybe is supporting the theory of, like, Mrs. Kotler just kind of being like, I'll, like, guide the hand, but I'm not going to get involved, because, sees the meat cleaver and she's like, oh, it's almost as if it was left there for me, which is kind of like maybe Mrs. Kotler magically kind of drawing like her attention to it. Yeah.
And she left Hazel, like, in charge. Hazel was clearly in charge.
Yes. Walker.
Hazel's like, mm-mm. Second he walks in the house, she's like, this man is a murdering hypnotist.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I do like that she was like, my sister wants me to visit and bring her, pig knuckle. But so I'm not going to leave her completely without protection. I'll leave Hazel.
Yeah.
New Jersey. New Jersey has peach trees.
Okay, so then that would make sense.
I bet it's New Jersey.
Because Arlstein lives in New York.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. There you go. Yeah, that makes sense.
Is New Jersey a one-party consent state?
Let's look
up. I wouldn't be surprised.
Is New Jersey a one?
Okay. Wow, there's a lot, actually.
Of one-party consent states?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. I looked it up because recently... I was having this discussion with my mom and sister for reasons I won't state.
Oh, my God. It looks like New Jersey is a one-party consent state.
There you go.
There you go. They're in New Jersey.
East Coast. All about that one-party consent.
Wide open.
She could have gotten him that way.
She could have gotten him that way.
Come on. I know that you don't have Google in 1990, but, like, ask around. Do some.
At least try.
Set up. Just,
the
like,
only
protect yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yourself.
So, apparently, there's some, like, caveats here. Where it's like, and this doesn't apply to New Jersey. New Jersey just blanket one party consent. Get this, Rhode Island doesn't even require any consent when the recorded parties do not have a reason to expect privacy.
Oh.
So that's interesting. I wonder how much that's been stretched to say what's a reasonable place to expect privacy. Because, like, if you're talking on the phone in public,
or if you're, like, in a coffee shop discussing your crimes.
Yeah, then it's like, okay, well, then you don't have a reason to expect privacy because other people could hear you, even if maybe you're talking quietly or whatever.
That's interesting.
And then some states distinguish between electronic and in-person communication, apparently.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, like Oregon and Illinois are all party consent for in-person communication with a few exceptions. Huh.
So, yeah, she could have set this up way better. She was she thought of, like, a good plan to bait him, but left herself no kind of safety net.
None.
And no hard evidence.
Just thank God for Hazel.
Thank God for Hazel. She had a cat. That was all that she had. Yeah. And even then she's like, I'm pretty sure I shut and locked the door. I'm pretty sure you did, bitch. Hazel's just that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should not have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hazel, like, had to squeeze her way.
Yeah.
I mean, cats
can fit.
It could have
cost you precious moments.
I know. And she could have gotten scraped by a nail or something.
Also, oh my God, how creepy is he when she's got that meat cleaver and he's like, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that?
When he's like, hit me with it or something. Like when he's like trying to goad her into like using it on him. I was like, ooh, Walker's so like extra creepy.
As soon as she like remembers his behavior the night that they car murdered someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, this sounds like a different person, which again feeds into the Walker's been hypnotizing her to imagine a completely different relationship theory.
I wonder if he's hypnotized Suki. Like, how
probably,
many people in this town is he
hypnotized? Why is Suki fucking interested in this, like, fucking kid magician?
Suki is, like,
here.
Way
She's
too cool for
cool.
him. I wonder if every time it's like, he's shy, his cheeks get so red. I'm like, no, I bet that's fury. And you just,
yes,
like, don't.
Rage.
That's, he's like rage.
Yes.
And she's like, probably. Oh, he's so nervous. He's breathing hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, his eyes are bloodshot because he's so, like, shy. Yeah. And not because he's, like, busted a vein in his head.
But this is one of those tropes, right? Like, how, where it's like, oh, he stared at me so intensely that I was scared for my life. And it was so sexy. Like, it's like that kind of thing.
That is,
like,
some Heather shit right there.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Which I, like, is coming from Christian Slater and Heather's, unfortunately, extremely hot.
Mm. I hate that you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate that I'm right too.
He's so goddamn.
It's just a fact.
Movie.
You know what's so weird? He squicks me out. I don't know why.
Well, I only like him in that movie. Anything else, I'm like, Christian Slater, I don't know about you.
I think it's because it was weird for like a teenage 20-year-old boy to be doing Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
It's like the intense eyebrow combo stuff. It's working.
See, I don't know. I don't know what it is about him. I'm very squicked out by him. I don't know.
Well, maybe I do know what it is. It's rational thought.
Lindsay, you have actively said that
I'm saying that you're exercising someone you're creepy. Exercising it in this case for some in this reason.
Case, in this case for some
it
reason.
It is what it is. It's just in like very bizarre reason. That it's coming yeah. from you in this
Why
case.
Now?
Yes.
Why now?
He's just very like he can't play anyone who isn't like super intense. Yeah. And I think yeah. that it's weird because he has such a like boyish face that he's yeah. always like so. And again, he's like just straight up doing Jack Nicholson in yes. fucking Heathers.
Maybe yeah. it's just like his edgelordiness that I'm like, I'm not, I don't know what it is. Because I like
well, what it is that it's bad. But yeah, for but some reason,
the master
it's
not working
is hot
from Buffy. I know. Like, this you think is all like, number I have, of people. It, I have I mean, problems.
Is it
Wait,
shocking?
You thought the master was hot?
Yes.
I know, right?
He's confident and funny.
Even with the Kool-Aid mouth?
The Kool-Aid mouth. I've
brought
like,
this up many times.
I just feel like he.
I always
yes,
say,
his
but what about
sharp.
The Kool-Aid mouth? What and about his, the sharp teeth? What yeah. about his wrinkled ass face?
I just think that he's so confident and he would be careful with me because he thinks I'm so beautiful.
Because you're different. You're not like other mortals.
Because I'm not like other girls. I eat steak and I drink bourbon.
And sometimes I fall because I'm so clumsy.
I'm so clumsy. Yeah. No, yeah.
Bella from Twilight and the Master.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my Whoa. God. No, see, I want to see that.
That's cursed and I would watch it.
If this was the year 2010, that would have made an amazing, amazing college humor video.
Yeah.
That would have
it's just too bad. It's too
if
bad.
If only. If only.
It came up now.
Wow. Well, I would say read this book because I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it's a banger.
And it's such a quick read. Like, it's just like a nice, like nice thing. Like, you just sit down at the end of the day, drink you a glass of wine. Of course, I read it in the beginning of the day, so I had the tea. But just like, it's literally like an hour and a half read. And yeah. that's with taking breaks to go to Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah. You can do it in one. You don't need to. Like it's one sit, one go.
It's
you
a treat.
Can read it in one
It's a
go,
treat.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Danielle, for joining us. You were
yes, this
amazing.
Was so fun.
Oh, thank you. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this shit.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you would like to plug?
No, just check out, find me on Twitter at Danielle Radford. Usually if I'm doing something, you can find me yakking about it there, or I'm talking about wrestling, which no one gets. Which is also fun.
I get it.
I appreciate you.
It's because of my boyfriend, but I get it. I only watched it because of Mike, but I truly, wrestling is the best storytelling on television.
These are my people. See?
Well, make sure you check out all of Danielle's stuff. Thank you again for joining us. Next week, we're covering something TBD. So just keep, we'll tell you when we feel like it.
Yes. Oh, no, wait. We know what we're doing next week.
Next week? No, we don't, Lindsay.
What? What's the
Look at
next
it.
Week?
TBD Hardy Boys.
No, that's my fault. We know exactly what we're doing.
Okay.
We are doing, I can't remember. It's something to do with virtual reality, and it is a Hardy Boys case file.
Oh, Hardy
file
Boys
mystery.
Case files number 86, virtual villainy.
Hello, thank you.
Sorry, it was... Look, we have like seven different ways that we keep track of what books we're covering.
TBD so is our Roger covering. Episode, I believe.
Yeah, the next one is also TBD. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. A huge thank you to our Patreon followers, patreon.com/teencreeps. We got a lot of really cool stuff there. A very special thank you to our Patreon producers. A very special thank you to our Patreon producers. Thank you, Aaron Fernandez.
Adam Halwitz.
Amanda Nengel.
Ann Dwyer.
Ashley Fritz,
Brian Petty II,
Claire Moore,
Courtney McPhail,
Danielle LaManna,
Danny B,
Emma,
Aaron Bates,
Gabriela Santiago,
Gianna Fernandez,
Gwendolyn Ludovic,
Jeremy Kronk,
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic,
Jessica Smith-Harper,
Jessica Yu,
Jonathan Venable,
Saoirse Descaro,
Karen Lewis,
Kat Miller,
Katie Lilly,
Katie Olsner,
Keith Anderson,
Kelly Burns,
Chris Darina,
Landry Desmond,
Larry Nguyen,
Laura Hooper,
Luke Bartek,
Mandalay Wolschlager,
Max B,
Megan Lozier,
Mel Leos,
Melody,
Micah Yunus,
Miguel Camacho,
Miranda Hester,
Molly Marks,
Nathan Gordon,
Noah Spargo,
Rachel Bassert,
Rashad Black,
Randy Klett,
Rebecca Goss,
Rebecca Knuckles,
Robert L,
Rogue Kalahua,
Sarah Jaggers,
Sarah Wallen,
Sasha Gibson,
Sylvie T,
Tristan Buckner,
Victoria Beck,
Victoria Gray,
and Victoria Valdez.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate it.
And I think that's all the biz, right?
That's all the biz. So we'll catch you next time. Until then, please get vaccinated if you haven't already, and keep it creepy.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.